Certainly thankful for this opportunity to be here this morning with you, to be able to worship our God. It's our prayer then that our worship has been acceptable to God. As we mentioned in Bible class, worship is a privilege. It really should be the highlight of our week. And I hope as we continue to study the book of Psalms, that each one of us will develop a greater and a deeper appreciation for the privilege of worship, being able to approach our God through Jesus Christ. In Psalm 41, verse number 4, the psalmist would declare this point. As I said, Lord, be merciful unto me and heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. As you look at what the psalmist is declaring in Psalm 41, verse number 4, we see that the psalmist was feeling the guilt of sin. And as the psalmist was feeling the guilt of sin, we realize that the guilt of sin can easily eat away at a person's soul. And so what the psalmist was wanting was spiritual healing because of sin. What David wanted more than anything from Psalm 41, verse 4, was forgiveness. He was wanting God's forgiveness. And we learn in Psalm 130, verse number 4, that there is forgiveness with God. That is great news. That is probably the best news that the world could ever hear, that we could ever hear, that there is forgiveness with God. You see, God has provided a way for us to be forgiven, and that way is found in Jesus Christ. In John 14, verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. God came up with a plan of salvation to save us so that we can be forgiven of our sins. And that plan entailed Jesus Christ coming to this earth to provide that perfect sacrifice for our sins. We see this in Hebrews 9, verse 26. Jesus came into this world. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. We can add another point to the sacrifice of Jesus. That perfect sacrifice satisfied God's perfect justice. God's perfect justice. That's why Jesus Himself would say in Matthew 26, verse number 28, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Friends, it doesn't matter who you are. Because of the grace of God, there is forgiveness with God. We learn in Titus 2, verse number 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. We also see in Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith. This morning, we want to talk about the grace of God as we consider the subject of forgiveness. You can't talk about the forgiveness of God without connecting it to the grace of God, as we pointed out, which is the source of our salvation. You see, the grace of God is one of those attributes that we want to discuss. We've been looking at a series of lessons on the attributes of God. We've talked about the wisdom of God. We've talked about the holiness of God, the goodness of God, the wrath of God. And there are many more attributes that we can mention. But we want to wrap up this series of lessons on the attributes of God by talking about the grace of God as it relates to forgiveness. You would open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to consider what the Apostle Paul says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 12 and following, and I believe what Paul says here really fits this lesson. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse number 12, Paul says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he had counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before," Paul talking about his past, "a blasphemer and a persecutor," and notice this, "an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace," there's our term, "and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." And as you know, verse 15 is probably the punchline. It's the key verse to this whole context where the Apostle Paul says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Now look at verse 16. "How be it? For this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." Consider what Paul is saying in these verses. Consider what he says about himself prior to becoming a Christian, prior to having tasted the grace of God. What did Paul say about himself? "I was a horrible, horrible individual." In fact, Paul refers to himself as the chief of sinners, the worst of the worst. But Paul says, "By the grace of God, I obtained mercy." And then he goes on to say in verse number 16 that his salvation, his conversion, is really a pattern for others to consider. And the point that Paul is making there in verse number 16, it doesn't matter what you've ever done. If you meet God's terms of pardon, there is forgiveness with God. You look at me. You look at what I've done. But by the grace of God, I obtained mercy. What is Paul saying? I obtained forgiveness. Well, as we think about the forgiveness of God, we want to consider the what, the when, and the how of God's forgiveness. I want to consider these points to help us, to aid us in our study of God's Word this morning as we think about the forgiveness that we can have through Jesus Christ. Let's first talk about what is forgiveness. It's really a good place to start. We said that there is forgiveness with God, but what is forgiveness? What does that mean? Well, there are two basic words in the New Testament that are translated forgive. As we consider the etymology of these words, the background, the meaning of these words, these two Greek words really give us an understanding of what we're talking about when we speak of God's forgiveness. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2. Let me show you the first word that we want to consider that is translated forgiveness. Notice with me Colossians chapter 2, and we'll read verse 12 and verse number 13. But you'll find the word that we want to consider in verse number 13. But we're going to mention verse number 12 in this context. Colossians 2, verse 12, Paul says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God," or through the faith of the working of God, "who raised him," Jesus, "from the dead." Now listen to verse 13. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened," or made alive together with him, "having," here's our word, "forgiven you all trespasses." The Greek word is charizomai. It literally means to be forgiven. It can be translated to show oneself gracious. What's interesting is, as you look at this particular Greek word, charizomai, forgive, to be gracious, it comes from another Greek word, kairis, and from that Greek word, listen to this, from that Greek word kairis, we get our English word grace. We get our English word grace. What Paul is doing in this context in Colossians 2, verses 12 and 13, is that he is showing that when these Christians were buried in the watery grave of baptism, God raised them from the deadness of sin and made them alive. And when they were raised and made alive, verse number 13, they were forgiven. Their trespasses, their sins were forgiven. In other words, when God forgave them, God graced these individuals. And so from Colossians 2, verse 13, to be forgiven of our trespasses means to be graced by God. We're simply looking at the words. To be forgiven of our sins means to be graced by God. Grace is a beautiful, beautiful concept to grasp and to understand. We equate grace, as we're doing here, with salvation, with sanctification, Acts 20, verse number 32. We equate grace when it comes to suffering. You see, there is grace for our every need. If we're going to know God, we need to know His grace. Look at another context where this same Greek word, charizomai, is used. If you would, go over to Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians 2 is probably a very familiar context. But look with me at Ephesians chapter 2. And we want to begin looking at verse number 4. And we'll read down a few verses. Ephesians 2 verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Look at verse 8. "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Now, as we're pointing out from this first word, when God forgives us, God is gracing us. From Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, we see the ingredients of God's grace. You may want to circle the word grace, and you may want to underline these terms: mercy, love, and kindness. Mercy, love, and kindness serve as the ingredients of God's grace. Mercy, the idea of God holding back judgment, not giving us what we deserve. God's kindness. God is being good to me. God's love. God is seeking my best interest. And so when I go back to Colossians 2, verse number 13, when God forgives us, as we pointed out, in essence, God is gracing us. God is being good to us. God is not giving me what I deserve. God is giving me what I need. He is holding back and He is treating me in the way that He would want to be treated. And so to be forgiven means to know the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first time, or that's the first word that we're looking at for this idea of forgiveness. But as we said, there is a second Greek word that is translated forgive. And by looking at these two different words and how they're used, we begin to understand what it means when God forgives us. He graces us with His kindness, with His love, with His mercy. Now, let's look at the second word. If you would, go to the book of Acts. There's another word that is translated, forgive, and we see this in Acts chapter 13, verse 38. And it is a word that means to set free or to send away. Here in Acts chapter 13, notice with me verse number 38. The Greek word is the Greek word aphesis. And this particular word is found 17 times in the New Testament. And listen to what the writer says here in Acts 13, verse number 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren. Again, this is Paul's preaching that through this man, speaking of Jesus, through this man is preached unto you, listen to it, the forgiveness of sins, aphesis. Not charizomai, but a different Greek word. And as I said, this particular word means to set free. And so when God forgives, we are set free. Our sins are let go. As if they've never happened. When God graces me, He forgives me. He sets me free. He treats me as though I've never sinned against God. You see in Romans 5 verse 9, the blood of Jesus Christ justifies us. What does that mean to justify? To treat us, listen to it from the word justify, to treat us just if I've never sinned against God. Friends, that is God's forgiveness. When God forgives us, God graces me with His love, His mercy, His kindness. He sets me free. He lets my sins go. No longer is God conscious or aware of our sins. Hebrews 8 verse 12, their sins, listen to it, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And dear friends, what we're saying about this word forgiveness from the New Testament is made available to every person. Every person can be graced, can be forgiven, can be graced by God's mercy, love, and grace. Every person's sins can be let go. They can be removed. Every person can be justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the forgiveness of God is such a wonderful, wonderful thing to grasp. Think about our second question. When are we forgiven? We can see what it means. It means to be graced by God, to be forgiven by God, to be set free. Well, when are we forgiven? Well, as we stop and think about forgiveness, we can easily work through the plan of salvation, and rightfully so, and we will see when a person is forgiven. You see, for those who've never tasted the grace of God, there are some things that person must do in order to be graced by God. In order to be set free, there are some things that a person must do. When it comes to salvation, God has a part, and we talked about God's part. God's grace and the sacrifice of Jesus, everything that God provided so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could be set free, so that God could let our sins go. But there's also some things that we must do when it comes to salvation. For example, in Ephesians 2, verse 8, a passage that we've already mentioned at the very beginning, "For by grace you are saved," Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace you are saved through" what? "Through faith." It's not grace alone, it's grace through faith. God has a part and we have a part. And so I'm wanting you to see that as we think about when are we forgiven. We have to first understand that if we're going to taste the grace of God, there are some things that we must do. Now I'm trying to be somewhat creative with this lesson. And what I want to do is I want to go back and look at that second word that we looked at as it related to forgiveness. And what's interesting is as you focus in on that particular word of faces throughout the New Testament, what you're going to find is this. You're going to learn what a person must do in order to be forgiven. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go back, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. As I said, the second word that we looked at, that we defined as it relates to God's forgiveness is found some 17 times in the New Testament. It's used quite a bit. And we're not going to look at all 17 references, but I'm going to highlight about three of them. And from these three texts, you will see what a person has to do to be forgiven. Let me show you the first. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 38. Everybody in here, I know, is familiar with Acts chapter 2. It's a great chapter. We see so many heard the gospel in its fullness for the first time, and they were pricked in their hearts, and they wanted to know what to do to be saved, to be forgiven of their sins. Look at Acts 2, verse number 38. "Then Peter said unto them," listen to it, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for our faces, the remission of sins," for the forgiveness of sins. And so, when am I set free? When does God let my sins go? Well, from Acts 2, verse number 38, "When I repent and when I am baptized, God forgives me. My sins are let go." We see that in how that word is used in this context. If a person wants to be forgiven, they must repent of their sins and they must be baptized for the remission, literally, in order to be forgiven. A person must be baptized in contacting the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me show you another example. Look at Acts chapter 10. As you're turning over to Acts chapter 10, this has to do with the context of Cornelius, a very interesting context. A Gentile is now going to be forgiven of their sins. And here in Acts chapter 10, I want you to notice with me around verse number 43, as Peter gives a defense of the gospel, going back to verse 38, he shows how Jesus was approved and crucified and raised. By the way, this sounds like Acts chapter 2, doesn't it? When Peter was preaching the gospel. How Christ was approved by God, verse 38, how how he was crucified, how he was raised from the dead, verse number 41. And look at verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, and to give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive of faces remission of sins. Notice that verse 43, in order to be forgiven of my sins, in order to have my sins released, to let go from Acts chapter 10 verse 43, I must believe. You remember when Jesus gave the Great Commission in Mark's account of the gospel, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that what? Believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If a person is going to be forgiven, if they're going to taste the grace of God, if God is going to grace them with His mercy, His kindness, His love, if God is going to let their sins go, we can see from Acts chapter 2 verse 38 that a person must repent and be baptized. We see from our study of Acts chapter 10, the conversion of Cornelius and his household, they must believe in Jesus. Don't turn to Acts chapter 10 verse 43 and say, see there preacher, all you have to do is believe and you'll be forgiven. Just keep reading the context. We see that Cornelius and his household, verse number 47, verse number 48, were baptized into Jesus Christ. The point that we're highlighting though is before a person is baptized, they have to believe. They have to hear the gospel and they have to believe the gospel concerning who? The death, the burial, the resurrection before they reenact. That's just common sense, isn't it? Before a person reenacts the death, burial, and resurrection and baptism, they first have to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Christ died for them, that He was buried, and He rose again just like they did in Acts 2, just like they did in Acts chapter 10. By just looking at this one word that's translated to forgive, we see what a person must do in order to be graced by God. Look at another. This will be the last example, and then we'll look at our last point together. If you would, turn over to Acts chapter 26. Now, as you're turning over to Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is making his defense before King Agrippa. And as he's making his defense before King Agrippa, he is going to point out his purpose in preaching the gospel. And notice this in Acts chapter 26. Notice with me verse number 18. Verse number 18. This is Paul's purpose in preaching the gospel. To open their eyes. The gospel has the power to open people's eyes. To turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive our faces. The forgiveness of sins. Same word that is used. What do we learn here in Acts chapter 26 verse number 18? If a person is going to be forgiven of their sin, they have to turn away from sin. In conversion, there must be a turning. That was Peter's point when he said repent in Acts 2 verse number 38. Here you have a beautiful definition on what it means to repent. It doesn't mean to just be sorry for your sins. It means to turn away from sin that begins in the mind with godly sorrow, which produces or leads one to turn away from their sins. And so for those who have never tasted the grace of God, there are some things that person is going to have to do in order to be graced by God, to be graced by His mercy, His love, His kindness, in order for that person's sins to be let go, to be forgiven. A person must hear the gospel. They must believe the gospel. They must repent of their sins. They must confess Christ They must be baptized in order to be forgiven. We notice what forgiveness means. We have now noticed when a person is forgiven. When does a person taste the grace of God? When they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. But very quickly, what about those who've already tasted the grace of God? Those individuals still need God's forgiveness. And we learn in the book of 1 John that we have access to the blood of Jesus Christ once we've been baptized into Christ. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that allows our sins to be washed away. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the continual forgiveness of sins. God continues to grace us with His mercy, His love, His kindness. He continues to let our sins go as we confess our sins. 1 John 1, verse 9. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice our last question. The lesson will be yours this morning. Why will God forgive me? Why is God so willing to forgive me? Even though I've done some horrible, horrible things, even though I've transgressed His law, why is God so willing to forgive me? And I tell you, when you stop and just look at it, it's somewhat of a challenging question to answer. Why would God be willing to do that? Would you be willing to do that? If somebody treated you in a very ugly way, treat them as though they have never done anything? We struggle with forgiveness as human beings, don't we? God doesn't. That is, if we meet His terms of pardon. God will forgive anybody. To me, that is such an amazing thought. But why is He so willing to do that? Well, this is what I've come up with. Because that's what He has promised to do. And oh, how we need to think about the promises of God. 2 Peter 1, verse 4, God has given to us exceeding and great promises. God has promised us certain things through Jesus Christ. That's the point that Paul was making in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, when he said the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. God has promised to forgive you, period, through His Son. Only through His Son. That's what God has promised to do. And God is faithful to His promises. And so as you're talking to an individual about the gospel, it may be that individual has done some horrible things, and in their mind they're wondering, will God really forgive me? What are you going to say to that individual? Well, I would say yes, He'll forgive you. Because that's what He's promised to do. And number two, that's what He desires more than anything. What God desires more than anything is for you to be saved. It's for you to be forgiven. Make application of the lesson. Well, what God desires more than anything is to grace you with His mercy, with His love, with His kindness. What God desires more than anything is to let your sins go. To remember them no more. That's what He desires. He desires for you to be saved. He desires for me to be saved. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 9. God hasn't appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Dear friends, there is forgiveness with God. That is the greatest news that we can share from God's Word. What is forgiveness? When God forgives, He graces us. We notice when a person is forgiven. A person is forgiven when they meet God's terms of pardon. Why will God forgive? Because He loves you. He's promised to forgive you. And He desires to forgive you. But we must meet His terms of pardon. And those terms are found in the New Testament. And we've mentioned those terms this morning. I promise you, if we're willing to meet those terms, God's promised to forgive you. Doesn't matter what you've done. It can be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God will treat you. He will treat me just if I've never sinned. If you are a child of God, it might be that you need to be graced by God. It might be that you need His forgiveness. If you're a child of God, you have God's continual forgiveness. But we still must meet His terms of pardon. We must have the right attitude towards sin. Let's be like the publican. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. If we can help you this morning in any way, spiritually speaking, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.